This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Just how far should a school go to accommodate transgender students? What federal or state laws and ordinances might impact policies for these students? School districts all around the nation are wrestling with these questions, even as parents and civil rights groups mount court challenges against districts whose policies are not supportive of transgender student rights. The ACLU of Michigan's LGBT Project is now crafting a comprehensive model policy for transgender students, a policy that could be adopted by local school districts. Jay Kaplan is a staff attorney who is part of this effort. Welcome to Stateside.
Thank you, Cynthia. Pleasure to be here.
So when we use that term transgender, what are we talking about, not just practically but legally?
Well, we're talking, it's a large umbrella term, and it refers to people who identify differently and who express themselves differently than the biological gender that they've been born with. And many times a transgender person, they find their biological gender to be incongruent with how they feel about themselves and how they would like to express themselves. As far as laws that cover transgender people, usually the category that we look at, it's called gender identity or gender identity and expression. And in Michigan civil rights laws, that category is not included. Sometimes we have to look to other protections that deal with sex discrimination. Some of our federal courts have held that when you discriminate against a transgender person, you're doing that based on gender stereotypes. You don't look, you don't act the way I think someone who's male or who was born male should look, vice versa with female, and therefore I'm going to deny you these opportunities. And the courts have held that that constitutes sex discrimination.
And is that Title IX, then, of the Federal Civil Rights Act?
It would be Title IX as it applies to education, mm-hmm. and it would be Title VII as it applies to employment. Yes.
Okay. And we've got the Equal Protection Clause of the 14th Amendment, but those in and of themselves are not enough, is what I'm hearing?
Well, I mean, you certainly can bring a challenge, but the Equal Protection Clause deals with the government, deals with a public school district, but mm-hmm. it doesn't deal with things in the private sector,
okay.
and that's why you want civil rights laws.
So what you're doing in the project is to try to come up with this model policy. Is this the idea that you could offer this up to a school district and know that it would lead them on the path that would be doing the right thing for a transgender student? And also following laws and ordinances?
We believe so. And the ACLU is working with a number of different individuals, educators, administrators, parents of transgender students, members of the transgender community, to develop a recommended policy that hopefully will provide guidance to school districts. And as you mentioned, hopefully they will consider adopting it, as a way to address, because what we're seeing is that transgender students are coming out more in school, and they're coming out at an earlier age. And I think it's helpful to have that guidance for schools with how they deal with situations like this, so that they have an understanding of what it means to be transgender, and they respond and they react appropriately.
Does the way a transgender student is treated in school districts in Michigan, does it vary by district? I guess I'm asking, are some districts more in sync with the needs of a transgendered student than others?
I would say anecdotally been pleasantly surprised in many instances how school districts have dealt with this in a very sensitive manner and have adapted very, very well. But I think, for other school districts, this is going to be a new thing, and it's going to be a thing that they're going to need some guidance and some important information in order to make the right decisions. I think whenever you have a policy that deals with transgender people, the first and most important thing is you have to have an understanding of what it means to be transgender and what a person who identifies that way, what is their life experience and what are the things that they need in order to effectively function and to feel that they are treated with their full worth and dignity.
So as you go through this process with the LGBT project and trying to design model policies, I'm sure you are coming up against many, many situations where the needs of a student bumps head on into the way a school wants to run things.
Well, I think it can. And I think, many times schools, they establish their policies and they haven't necessarily considered other contingencies. Mm-hmm. I mean, when you deal with someone who's transgender, you're dealing outside of the traditional gender binary, you know, that we expect male and female, and people are to act a certain way. So this kind of calls into question some of those established assumptions that don't necessarily fit. It's not a one-size-fits-all. So sometimes that can create resistance, and it can create some questions. But I think when you just look at it in a practical sense, allowing someone to be who they are, as long as it's not substantially disrupting the regular carrying out of educational activities, which in you know, for the most part, it never is going to do that, it shouldn't be a problem for the schools.
I'm speaking with attorney Jay Kaplan. He's with the ACLU of Michigan's LGBT Project. They're working at crafting a comprehensive model policy for transgender students, and hoping that this policy could then be adopted by local school districts. So I got to imagine right at the beginning, the most commonly experienced challenge comes down to bathroom use.
Absolutely. That's outside of the school setting as
yeah.
well. And, you know, basically what we recommend, what we think is supposed to be the right policy, is that transgender students be allowed to use a restroom in accordance with their gender identity and their gender expression. And many schools have adapted that way. Sometimes what they'll do is they will provide a single user, a gender-neutral restroom facility. And although that can be acceptable, I don't think that should always be the assumption that the transgender student has to be in a separate facility. I think a separate facility should be available to anybody who feels uncomfortable using a communal restroom. But let's face it, the purpose for restroom use is one purpose only.
Right.
And any other behavior going on in there by any student, regardless of gender identity or expression, that could be considered inappropriate. But we always advocate that the student be allowed to use the facility in accordance with their gender identity and expression.
What about dress codes? Now, we'll take apart the fact that you have private schools, parochial schools, that will and public schools, too, that you know, say, wear a uniform.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that, but especially when it's anything goes, what should a school try to do to accommodate their transgender student?
Sure. Well, I certainly schools can have dress codes, and they can decide what is the appropriate attire. But when you start having dress codes that specifically make reference to a particular gender, and to say that only male students can wear pants to particular school events, or if you have other limitations that only female students can do that, that's not going to fit for the transgender student.
Mm-hmm.
So we would advocate that the transgender student be allowed to dress in accordance with their gender identity expression within the guidelines of a school dress code.
And how do you get through or over or around issues that parents of other students, especially if we're talking younger kids, when parents are really involved in classroom activities in a way that might not be the case in high school, how do you get them to see things through the eyes of the transgender student?
Well, hopefully through education and providing information for understanding. A lot of times when the problems do arise in these situations, it's based on fear of the unknown, fear due to lack of information. So I think the opportunity to provide, there should be nothing that another child should have to fear because they're with a transgender student. The transgender student is there for the same reason a non-transgender student would be there, to learn, to be educated, to feel comfortable in school, and to feel that they fit in and they can focus on their studies. And so these policies, these recommended policies and practices, are a way to help that student, that transgender student, be able to focus on their academics and not feel that they're an outcast or not feel that they cannot be themselves.
Jay Kaplan is with the ACLU of Michigan's LGBT Project, working on those very policies that he spoke of. Any sense as far as how long it'll take to get the policies, the model policies crafted and out into the hands of school districts?
I don't think it's going to take too long because, to be honest with you, we're really not reinventing the wheel. There's been school districts across the country, states of California and Massachusetts, mm-hmm. and Seattle, all over, who've really crafted some pretty comprehensive and some good policies. So we're just kind of taking the best from each one and putting that together. Maybe in the next couple months we will have something. And what we'd like to do is just to make this available to school districts and to encourage them to take a look at it and considering adopting these policies.
Jay, it was great talking with you. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Take care.